Blog Talk Radio.
Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We're New Beginnings, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. For those of you that have tuned in by internet, you can call in the number 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And you can be connected because we are an interactive Bible study. What is that? I'm glad you asked. That means that you can call in and you can interact with the speaker or whomever else is online and become a part of this Bible study. Amen? So we can hear what God has placed on your heart as we research the Word of God. We're going to move forward, and we're going to have a prayer. In fact, I am going to also give a shout out to Stuart Hawthorne, who is located in the nursing home, and God has been tremendously recovering him, and we are praying that that he has a full recovery. If you have anyone on your heart that you would like to have prayer for, please do not hesitate to mention it on air, or you can even go to our chat room and you can type it in and we will get that message as well. Amen. We do, once again, thank you for tuning in. This evening we're going to be in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. We're going to be in Rocky Mount, North Carolina with Sister Cassandra Hicks, and she's going to be bringing the word. Father God, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I pray that you would just bless this ministry. Bless all the ministries, Heavenly Father, that come on from all the different states and the cities, Heavenly Father. We pray that we would all be on one accord. We pray that you would use us, Heavenly Father, as vessels, Heavenly Father, so that we would be servants, Heavenly Father. We know that what we do for others is a blessing. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just give us the humility to be able to humble ourselves, Heavenly Father, that others might be able to see us not in the flesh, but in the spirit. We pray for the word, Heavenly Father, that it goes out. Let the meditation of the speaker's heart be received, Heavenly Father, so that a word is changed, Heavenly Father, whomever may be listening. We thank you. We give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Now we're going to open up the mic, and we're going to move on over into Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Sister Hicks, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to move on out of the way, and we're going to let you, we're going to turn the mic on over to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Greetings to all. Tonight, we'll be starting with Luke chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 27 through 36. Would anyone like to read the scripture tonight? Okay.
Amen. I'm going to open up all the mics. We have a lot of different area codes on here, so I'm opening up the mics. And the question was, would anyone like to read the scripture? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, we're going to begin with Luke chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that is that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise.
Amen.
For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that Amen. Love them. And if
yes.
we do good to them which do good to us, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest.
Yes.
For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Amen.
Amen.
Before I begin with the text, I would like to give a little history about the author who's writing, which is Luke. I want to go back in a couple of the chapters just to point out a few things to bring us up to chapter 6. Luke was a physician. Luke tells his story from a medical standpoint, and he emphasizes on Jesus' human qualities and of kindness and compassion for others. Luke gives details in his writing about the birth and growth of the early church. Luke in chapter 1 talks about the birth of Jesus. Then he goes on to talk about Jesus' life at 12 years old. He talks about the baptism of Jesus by John. Then the start of Jesus preaching and teaching and healing. He also talks about how the Pharisees are accusing Jesus of blasphemy.
Wow.
And how he handpicked his 12 disciples and taught them personally, which will bring us all the way up to chapter 6 now.
Amen.
Now here we see Jesus is teaching about loving enemies. In the text, at the beginning, the Jews are opposing the Romans, and Jesus is using this as a teachable moment for the disciples. As we look at verse 27, we notice the wording in verse 27, but two words that stood out to me was the word hear and the word love.
Amen.
So as I pondered on those words, hear, hearing is so important because it requires us to pay very close attention.
That's very
good. Also, what we hear, we internalize it. You know, because it allows us to embrace that belief or that thought. So as we adopt the belief and the value, as we embrace those beliefs and thoughts, hearing God's word being taught, as the disciples were listening and hearing God's word, they began to adopt his belief, his values, and also began to develop the attitude of Jesus.
Good point.
We as disciples have to hear. We have to internalize the teachings of Jesus Christ so they can help us deal with the emotional battles that we have or any type of conflict that contradicts what Jesus is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about this text about hearing and internalizing God's word, It leads me to think about Romans, because when you internalize something, you think about it, you ponder on it, you meditate on it, as David said he did in Psalms. And to meditate on something, that means that you're reprogramming your thinking, so you're renewing your mind. And the scripture that came to mind was in Romans 12:2, you know, which talks about us renewing our mind, because he wants us to be transformed people. With
Amen.
The renewed mind, living
Amen.
To honor and obey
Amen.
Him. And we can't honor and we can't obey God if we're not hearing, if we're not listening and receiving it in our hearts, what God is saying to us.
Amen.
Amen. And another reference that I came across when I was studying this text was found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, which talks about, he who has an ear, let him
hear.
That's good.
In this teaching, Jesus condemned the attitude of his generation because they were motivated by self-interest and having doubts, because he challenged their comfortable, secure, and self-centered lives too often. And they felt like they had to justify for their inconsistencies, because listening required them to change.
Yes,
and that's the
that's good.
Same with us. with Romans chapter 2, that listening is renewing our mind, and the stuff that we used to do, we're no longer comfortable with doing those things once we come into the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. Any comments?
No, this is good.
Okay. Amen.
Very good, Sandra.
Yes.
Very good.
The next word was love that stood out in this first verse. And when I went to the dictionary and I looked up love, and I found love has many meanings.
Uh-huh.
So I was asking myself when I was studying this, like, God, what kind of love, you know, what kind of love are you talking about? Because it's just so many loves. So Webster gave me a few definitions on love. There's filial love, which is love that refers to affectionate, which makes you desire friendship with someone. Then there's storge love, that's the kind of love for family and friendship love. Then there's eros, which is a passion and intense love that arouses romantic feelings, but it does not last long. And then there's that agape love. This is an unconditional love that sees beyond our outer surface accepts the recipient for whom they are, regardless of their flaws, shortcomings, or their faults.
That's right.
Although we may not like someone, we can make a decision to love them just as being a human being.
That's right.
This is the kind of love. This kind of love is all about sacrifice as well as giving, expecting nothing in return.
This is
the type of love that is used in a verb form because it is demonstrated by a behavior towards another person. And it is a commitment to choose the love.
Amen. I like that. Choose to love. We have a choice.
It's a conscious decision. It's a conscious decision. In the text, this is the love that Jesus is teaching the disciples, and Jesus is modeling this behavior in front of the disciples. In the Bible, we have two of the greatest commandments found in Matthew 22, verses 36 and 40,
which
states, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?
That's right.
And Jesus replied,
Tell him.
Lord your God with your heart and with all your soul
and with all your mind.
Strength. This is the greatest commandment. The second greatest commandment, love your neighbor.
There you go.
As you love yourself.
There you go.
All the laws and the prophets hang on to these two commandments. What I also found when I was studying is that love is one of the most potent weapons to drive out the enemy. Because without agape love, true friendships, true fellowship is not possible. And we will never see the true power of God manifest to a degree we need it if we do not learn how to operate in love.
The agape love, that's very good.
Yes.
That's very good.
Any comments?
Minister, I would like to probably just comment a little bit. When you start talking about love, it takes us to a different level. Because as you have already described, there are many, many types of love. But the love that I'm talking about now is I go back to Galatians and I always teach my people that, you know, it's very strange that Paul, when he wrote Galatians, he wrote the fruit of the Spirit. And he started it out with love.
Love.
You know, love. And I think that
one of the love is the most lacking thing in this world today. We have children who don't love the parents. We have parents who don't love the children.
Amen.
And I'm talking about that agape love, that unconditional love.
Yes.
We have brothers and siblings who don't love one another.
Right.
And we have I'm gonna go as far as even in church, we have church members who sit in the congregation amongst each other every Monday, every Wednesday, every two or three times a week who
Jesus.
Do not love one another.
Mm.
But yet they say they love God. How is that?
Yes, sir.
That's a good word.
So we really have to understand, as you're explaining to us here, what Jesus means when he says that we should love our enemies, do good to them which hate us. And that's hard. It's real hard, Minister, for us to love our enemies. But in following the commandments of Christ and what
yeah.
is laid out for us, we must love our enemies. I like the point that you made when you say you don't have to like them, in other words. But the Bible commands us, Christ commands us to love them.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, once we get love back, or until we get love back, let me put it that way, until we get love back in our homes, back in our schools, just like prayer, back in our churches, and back in this world, we are a fallen nation.
Yes.
Because, don't you remember when John wrote about the church at Ephesus, and I believe it is, and he said, thou hast left thy first love. And that's where we are. We've left God. We put him on the back burner. I'm sorry to take up your time, but when you start talking about love, that takes me somewhere else, you know.
Yes. Man, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you shared because it helps me out a little bit with some more things that I have here, because you just opened a platform for me to go right on with the things that God had laid on my heart to share. And
well, come on with it. Come on, we ready.
Because we as believers must understand that Jesus was the Word. He was God.
That's right.
Yeah. In a human body form. And he had everything he needed on the inside of him to withstand the insults, the allegations,
That's
the beating,
right.
and as they kill him a physical death. The entire fight with Jesus was on a intellectual level, where they were trying, where the Pharisees and others are trying to deal with him with their intellectual knowledge, but Jesus was functioning by the Spirit. He was functioning by the Spirit of God,
Amen.
By the Word of God.
Amen.
He was God.
Amen.
And when
Amen.
Jesus died physically, he knew that we could not make it here on this earth without a comforter, without him. So he went back
Amen.
To his Father, and they sent the comforter here to help us. Because he knew that the same people that crucified him would continue to reproduce in this earth.
Amen.
Yes.
So he sent us that comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And John 14, verses 15 through 18 tells us, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray to my Father, and he will give you another comforter to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither see him nor knows him. But you know him, for the dwellings within you and will be in you. Also, in further down in John, verses 14, verse 26 states that But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
That's right.
Now, with that being said, in order to operate in this love, this agape love, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us and to teach us, to remind us about these scriptures. We cannot function in our flesh.
That's right.
Now, natural man, we cannot function in this love because it starts to, because when people do things to us, it hurt us physically, and them emotions get in the way and get us all twisted, and we can't even make rational decisions because we're so caught up in that hurt, and we want to get revenge. And, you know, he's talking about in the scriptures about turn the other cheek. We cannot do this stuff without the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we're going to be able to stand the persecution, the allegations. And even to go so much as to talk about, we should consider while examining this text that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Then Jesus came and gave his life so we could have the opportunity to commune with his Father again. Jesus died a very painful death. They used a cat o' nine tail, that is a short whip, consists of nine heavy leather thongs, each with small lead balls embedded with bits of glass, stone, bones attached near the ends. They had, that is a heavy whip, and with full force over again and again to his shoulders, to his back, and to the legs of Jesus. It pulled flesh from his bones.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
They spit on him. They beat him. They crowned his head with thorns, and then they shoved the crown on his head so it would cut down in his skin.
That's right. That's
Jesus
exactly
never
right.
fought back.
That's
he
exactly
never stopped
right.
loving people. And while he carried the cross to be hung on, he was healing people along the way. And he was still blessing people. There's no greater love than this.
That a man
we
laid
can't
down
even
his life.
Imagine going through something like that in our natural mind. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us, because that love that Jesus displayed, it covers a multitude of sins.
That's it.
It covers a multitude of sins. And he's just so gracious to us. He's so merciful to us. And I just got to tell him thank you. We're thinking about this and reading all this stuff. I just got to tell him thank you, because he has been good to us.
Amen.
Even though we be rebellious, he's been good to us. And that kind of love that we're talking about here tonight, we have to learn how to operate in it on a daily basis. And it takes a conscious effort. Will we learn how to operate in this love through the Holy Spirit? Because the scripture told us the Holy Spirit, it says, when he sends him in my name, he will teach you all things and bring
all
these
things
to your remembrance. So if we need him to bring that to our remembrance daily, because it takes a conscious effort to do these, to display this, to model this behavior that Jesus did in front of the disciples and laid the foundation for us. When we learn how to operate in this love, we can respond to our enemies in their best interest by praying for them and thinking of ways to help them.
Amen.
Any questions?
That's very good. And that main focal point is Holy Spirit, Him, Holy Spirit. And if we don't have Him, Holy Spirit, we can go off into a rage, a tangent of forgetting about the love. But the love is why he came and why he laid down. And we're to exemplify that same love.
Yes.
That same love. And the only way we can exemplify that same love is when we lay before him and we ask him to come in. We ask Holy Spirit to, like you said, teach us, lead and guide us, inhabit our being, take over, you know.
Amen.
That's
amen.
Right. A lot of people.
Without him.
Go ahead. Yep.
I was wanting to say that If we look at verse 28 in her text, that is a way that we can exemplify the love of Christ. Because if you read verse 28, it says, "Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you." And, you know, if we could just get by that, I believe God would be pleased.
Yeah.
I truly believe that he would be pleased, because one of the hardest things, well, these are two of the hardest things that, or three of the hardest things that's for us to do, for man to do, for woman to do, to bless somebody that curse you. Oh, in our small little minds, just think about if somebody curse you, Lord, I mean, that is tough, to bless somebody who curse you and then pray for them, who use you. And you know, we get used often. Christians, churches, get used often. And I've always told my people, don't let anybody take your meekness for weakness. You know, we've got to stand strong, and we've got to stand strong on the word of God. Loving somebody that don't like you, it's hard. It's hard. But in order for us to have the same love that Christ has in us, then we have got to obey what Jesus is talking about here. And these it's listed as principles for kingdom living. So we've got to do that. Amen.
And if you said, Pastor, that it's a hard thing to do, it is a hard thing to do, but Jesus is showing us that he did it and we can too.
Yeah.
And if we keep in mind, and this is what I have to do, because I came into a confrontation today, and you know what? The peace of God. Oh, yonder, see, the peace of God kept me quiet. The peace of God, where Edna could have went off into Edna, but because Christ lives in Edna, hallelujah, the peace of God that.
Thank
all
you.
Understanding. Let me just, you know, flow with the flow.
Hallelujah.
Flow with the Holy Spirit. Just flow with the
Spirit.
It'll
do that. It will do that.
And
amen.
I thank the Lord, because that's what he did. He still loved those that cursed him, spat on him, despitefully used him, thinking he was a basically a punk. But Jesus, he was greater, because all he had to do was call. Father, send your angels. But he did. He was an example for us. An example that as he lives, so can we. Live just like that.
Amen.
Take the
Minister,
Holy Spirit. I like your topic. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And you were talking.
I like to say that in this text, if we could just, when
amen.
We show love to our enemies, when we know that they hate us, and when we bless them, that is like putting on Christ and being the example of him.
That's
right? But
that's right.
It is. They may not say nothing to you at that moment while you're loving on them, while you're blessing them. They may not say anything to you at that moment, but you done planted a seed of Christ.
There you go. There you
then,
go.
That's good.
And then that is going to, that's going to resonate in them. And they're going to say, you know what? She could have cursed me out. But instead of cursing me out, she bought me a basket of food.
Mm-hmm.
Or she let me have a scarf or anything, you know, and it's going to cause them to think and repent of their own behavior, and it's only because the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, and we're drawing us to him.
And it's because of that love.
And just to piggyback off of you, Minister Brenda, let me tell you something. Even if, I planted the seed, but even if that seed doesn't grow, I knew that I've done what Christ would do.
Exactly.
That's right.
You know, and then I keep it moving.
That's right.
Keep it moving.
Amen. Man.
You know, in your message, you were talking about how they mistreated Christ before the cross, and even as he bore the cross. But I want us to think about one thing that Christ done after all the beating and after all the lashing and after all the spitting and after all the punching and after all the being struck on the head with reeds and after all of that. And then he got up on the cross. And then while he was yet on the cross, he looked down at them and prayed to his Father and said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they're doing. And if we can get that part in us, even when we're being mistreated and talked about and put down, just say, Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. Forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know who they're mistreating. They don't know who I am. But I ask you to forgive them, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
So
we're
ready for more.
Thank you.
Amen. Talking about how people mistreated Jesus, one of the examples I wanted to give tonight was an example of nitpicking. When the Pharisees were nitpicking, and they were questioning everything Jesus was doing, trying to find fault in him because his behavior was not matching up with what they believed was right. And Jesus was not checking in with them for instructions. And what Jesus is showing us as believers in various amounts of text throughout the Bible is that he fully understands, you know, the adversities we face here on earth. And he gave us detailed instructions on how to respond under these pressures and persecutions. And the Pharisees, they made allegations about him because Jesus and the disciples, they were going through the field, and the disciples were picking wheat to eat. And the first thing they asked, you know, you're breaking the law on the Sabbath day. You know, why are you breaking the law? And the Sabbath day was saying it's supposed to be kept holy. You're not supposed to do anything on Sabbath day. And they were accusing them of working and doing things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus responded in this verse, in verse 3, earlier in the chapter. Jesus answered them, and he said, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? They entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man, and Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is the Lord of Sabbath, which what he told those Pharisees right then is the disciples' human needs was much more important than human regulations. Jesus showed a good example of compassion. Also, Jesus tells them, that he is the Sabbath, and he has the authority to overrule the Pharisees' traditions and regulations. Because they're based on rules and regulations, and Jesus was concerned about people. He was concerned about people and their needs, and he was being compassionate with his ministry as he served those people.
Amen.
Amen. But that is a good example of him being picked on in different things. Any comments?
No, that's good.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
And another thing that came to mind while I was sharing, while I was studying this, is in order for us to walk in this love, we have to learn how to be honest with ourselves and be transparent. And our transparency is so important. I got three pointers. I have, because nothing is hidden from God.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And if we recognize and admit that we have a problem,
mm-hmm.
we can begin to seek God to kill that problem at the root.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we will have a testimony to share with someone else to let
That's
them know
right.
about goodness.
That's right.
And transparency, it also builds a better relationship with God.
Amen.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And also with being transparent, being honest with God, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, it made me think about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. And it talks about all scripture is breathed out by God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be content and equipped for every good work. If we don't have no word in us, the Holy Spirit cannot be active and give us that power that we need to sustain,
mm-hmm.
operate in that love that God
Amen.
Is talking about, agape love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Questions or comments?
Amen.
Minister, I am really I'm really getting full on your message tonight. But I was listening to you talk about being open and being honest with God. A lot of people tend not to be open and honest with God because they're not open and honest with themselves.
Amen.
And that's where we've got to begin. If there is a sin within me, I have to recognize that
mm-hmm.
sin that's in me, and I have to be open to myself, knowing that it is a sin, and
mm-hmm.
Before I can even take it to God. And a lot of us don't want to pour our hearts out, so to speak, to God
mm-hmm.
and just tell him, even though he already knows.
That's
but
it.
We need to
mm-hmm.
tell him what our sins are. You know, I've always said that God don't mind us reminding him of what we are and who we are. So until we can be open to God, first of all with ourselves, but until we can be open with God, our Father,
yes.
then our sins can't be forgiven.
That's
right. We've got to learn
mm-hmm.
to turn it all over to him. We can't go to God with a little bit of sin, with a little bit of guilt, with a little bit of fault, with a little bit of this,
mm-hmm.
with a little bit of that, and keep some for ourselves. Because
mm-hmm.
that stuff will start festering and rise back up in you once again. But if you give it all to God, hallelujah, if you give it all to God, let him have it, then he'll be able to transform you and set your sins
mm-hmm.
away from you. That's just
I like that because that reminds me, especially that transparency, that reminds me of David. That's why he was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
even though God, like you said, Pastor, even though God knew his sin, David
uh-huh.
still went with a broken and contrite, with a
there
humble heart, saying, Lord, forgive me. And God honored that. He honored that. And just like you're saying, and just like the minister is saying, you know, we have to be open and transparent. You know.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, what Pastor was saying a few minutes ago when he was talking about harboring that anger, And the natural mind, when I think of harboring that anger, I think of like an explosive behavior. You just let that be a ground for that seed to just keep growing and growing and growing. And next thing you know, your whole heart is just covered.
My God.
Mm-hmm. And Minister, I like your, I really enjoy your testimony about being tried and tested. Even today, I think you said, but that's going to happen often. It happens to me quite often. But as you said, and going back to what you said, I have to let the peace of God rule in me and be able to show them that you can't touch this, as MC Hammer would say, you know, because Christ that dwells in me is greater than what's dwelling in you. And I've had to learn that. I'll be honest with you. I was one of the most quick tempered people around in this little area. I mean, I would get mad at the drop of a dime. But thank be to God that He has came in my life and He has renewed my mind and renewed my spirit. He's changed my heart. He's done a lot of stuff in me that when it comes to getting angry now, I'll be like Jesus said, I just shake the dust off my feet and move on.
Because you know what that does, that anger, not cutting you off, Pastor, but the insidious way that the enemy comes in, you know, to distract us, to take us off our, you know, because, you know, we know what happens when we get angry and we get, you know, disturbed. And just like the minister said, we'll always replay it in our mind because we heard it. And it went in our ear. And before when it goes in your ear, it's in your heart, and then you just or in your mind, and you're just playing over and over again. But see, because of the Holy Spirit that keeps us on track, Him, Holy Spirit, keeps us on track because we don't have time for the yin yang. Because that there today was yin yang, and you know what? There's too much to be done out there. God don't want us to focus on them little things, those little things that the enemy comes and he tries to buffer you, tries to, you know.
Trap you.
Yeah, that's it.
You're exactly right. We always got to be in a forgiving spirit.
Amen.
That's right.
We always got to be in a forgiving spirit because this is what Jesus is talking about, Luke. Points it out to us that Jesus came to show compassion. And if we are disciples, we supposed to be modeling His behavior because this Jesus teaches about loving your enemies and He gives you instructions on how to live and to model the same behavior that He displayed here.
He came
just so He could show us this kindness and compassion, these human qualities. Amen.
That's good right there, though.
Show us the way.
Show us the way.
Amen. Minister, you be aware that that there are more trials coming, there are more tribulations. You be aware that the trying of your faith, the trying of your spirit, well, it's going to come again, okay? Mm-hmm. And you just keep in mind what you already have in mind, amen?
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep your eyes on the prize because people are going to test you and try you every day.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to catch you at your most joyous moment and try to rip you down.
Jesus.
But you just continue. You just continue to be joyful, and you just continue knowing that He that is in me is greater than He that is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep your eyes on the prize. That's what you got to do.
I receive, because the closer we get, the more the enemy likes to buck and just go crazy. Because
he knows that we.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in 1 Peter that the enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion.
Yes.
He's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And the most things that he are seeking are people like us who are after God's own heart.
That's right.
Amen.
Good message. Good message.
Minister? More.
I'm going to go back over the key things we went over. We talked about hearing, because it's like it's getting close. But we talked about, we pointed out hearing. Mm-hmm. We pointed out love, how important to internalize the word of God, how we need the Holy Spirit. Because this kind of love that God is talking about, this agape love he's talking about, it takes a conscious effort. And we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us to all truth, to help us to distinguish what's right from what's wrong, and also to help us to be transparent within ourselves, be honest with ourselves, so we can cry out to God for Him.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
He can help us through these things, and also to know that a lot of this is just distractions, you know, to take us off our focus point, and how the enemy is lurking us when we're at our vulnerable points. You know, we just got to do
our strongest.
Right. So we just got to try our best to get into the Lord and do the best we can to stay focused in
His
scriptures, and His love. And to treat people the way that we want to be treated at all times.
Right.
And stop being so judgmental to other people, because you cannot see that person's heart. You can't see their heart. Only God can see their heart. God can see what they're thinking. He knows all that. So we just have to be prayerful and make sure that we're lifting one another up and not tearing each other down. Because God didn't come here to do that. God did not come here to tear us down and to tear anybody down. He came to build us up. He came the scripture, and that we may have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
So I just hope that this lesson, you know, that you heard it, that you're internalizing it, and you're soaking it in God's love.
That's good.
Hey, I got a question.
Yes.
What ministers do we have on the line? Just by last name.
Elder. Last name?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Minister Jackson.
Jackson.
I'm Minister.
Uh-huh.
I'm Minister Herman. Minister Herman.
Okay.
H-E-R-M-O-N.
Okay.
And I'm Cassandra Ricks.
Cassandra who?
Ricks. R-I-C-K-S. Ricks. R-I-C-K-S.
Okay. You are the messenger for tonight, right?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Okay. I just needed that because I'm not real good with names, so I have to remember, even in my prayer, who I pray for.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
And Pastor John, you are always in our prayers for this ministry, for this radio ministry, and for the things that you are doing for the working of Christ. You are always in our prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
So
My wife and other sisters.
Your wife, your Amen. Wife. What's your wife's name?
Suzanne.
Suzanne, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay.
And thank you.
Thank you. Man,
and
thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh,
that's all right,
Mary.
Pastor. That's all right, Pastor.
Amen.
So blessing.
We are moving at the close of the hour. Sister Ricks, did you have any closing remarks before we get ready to close out? We're looking at about 4 more minutes.
I gave the closing remarks. Do you want to close out in prayer in like an intercessory prayer for everybody that's on the line that may have something they want to pray about tonight?
That's what was on my heart. We have 90 seconds, and everybody just say a little piece or a little prayer. Amen?
Yes.
Sister Rick's going to close it off with you.
All right. Father God, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to come together, Lord, unifying us in the body of Christ, God, that we may uplift your name, Lord God, that we may rightly divide your word. Lord God, we just ask right now that the word that has gone forth on tonight, Lord God, that you just hide it in our hearts, Lord God, and we plead the blood of Jesus over this word that it will not be stolen from us, Lord God. Lord God, and let these seeds that were implanted tonight, they will multiply, Lord God, and we will be able to share them with others, sharing them with your love and your compassion, Father. Lord God, I lift up the children. I lift up my children. I lift up children all over the world that are going to the schools. Lord God, I ask that you cover them and keep them safe, Lord God, as they get on the school bus, as they interact with the teachers, Lord God. Lord God, there's so many things going on with shootings and different things for these children, Lord God, and the enemy is after our children. And, Lord God, we just bind that enemy up right now with the blood of Jesus, and we ask him to take his hands off our children, that they will become pastors, preachers,
hallelujah.
Pastors, teachers, doctors, lawyers, whatever your divine will is for that child, Lord God, let it start to manifest in them right now. That when they're at school, instead of sharing a text or telling a dirty joke, Lord God, let them want to give them a word that they may share with somebody in their age group about you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let them hear, let them listen, let them be obedient in class, Lord God, and they will be listening and doing what the teachers say. And, Lord God, teach them how to respect the teachers. And, Lord, teach the parents, Lord God. There's so many young parents that are not disciplining their children and taking time out with, Lord God. Teach parents how to help these children, Lord God, because the parents have to lead by example. So many parents don't have it. But, Lord God, let somebody that's anointed, that's covered with your favor, Lord God, come across the path that they may minister your word to them, Lord God, that they will cry out, what must I do to be saved, Father?
That's right.
My prayer tonight, God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. We'll keep it moving. Keep it moving. Everybody have a prayer. Share a prayer.
Yes, Father, I thank you, God, for this night. I thank you for the lesson, Lord God, that you have allowed us to experience tonight. Thank you for the collaboration of each one of us tonight, God. Father, I pray for each one on the line tonight, God. Whatever their ministry is, Father, I pray, God, that you are edified in the name of Jesus, God. Then, God, I ask, Lord God, that as we depart off of this line, God, that we will always remember, Lord, that agape love that was talked about tonight. That we always remember, God, that you sent your only begotten Son to die for each one of us. And that we must share in this rich experience that you have trained us in. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you. I pray for the sick and the shut in all over this country, Lord God, and I pray for the upcoming election, Lord God, that you put in office. Who you see fit. Father, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Father God, thank you, Lord. And as my brother said, Father, about the upcoming election, I thank you, Lord, as we, Father God, will remember first and foremost that you our King, that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes.
And yes, and Jesus has the final word. So we thank you,
yes,
dear Lord, that we will be steadfast and be unmovable when it comes to our faith, Father God. Dear Lord, I also pray, Father God, for those that will listen to this message in the archives, Father God, and furthermore,
yeah,
dear Lord, that it will be here, dear Lord, that it will fall on fertile soil, Father God. And even though we may not be the ones to harvest, to be there for the harvest, dear Lord, we trust you, Lord, that you will send someone, Father God, to tend to those that we have done. That their faith will grow, Father God, that their commitment to the body, Father God, will be encouraged, Father God.
Yes.
And we thank you will come for all the seeds that have been planted.
Yes.
I ask you, Lord, for a special blessing for each and every household that represents in this circle, Father God. That their homes are completely covered in the name of Jesus, that there be no retaliation and distribution from the word that we've spoken this evening for our time together, dear Lord, that they will,
yes,
be blessed. And thank you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit completely envelops each and every room of their homes, Father God, that they can walk through the house, Father God, and walk through their apartments and their dwelling places,
yes,
Father, ministering your name and praising you, dear Lord.
Yes.
I thank you, Father,
yes,
God, that their homes and the places where their houses sit, Father God, are saturated with the blood of Jesus, Father God,
yes,
that they are protected, that they are covered by the blood, and that there's a hedge of protection around them that's so thick that not one fiery dart from the enemy can penetrate. I thank you, Father God, that they be so blessed, Father God, that even their neighbors are blessed for living next door to them, dear Lord. I praise you and thank you, dear Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep, that we rest well, dear Lord, and have our dreams. We thank you, Lord, for your ministering and warring angels watching about us as we sleep. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm just saying amen and amen, because y'all done prayed. Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Before the Father knows what you have a need for before you ask it. In this manner, therefore, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth and on
heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
And forgive us our guilt.
Our trust.
And forgive us our debt. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom,
and
the power,
and the glory.
Forever and
ever.
And we bring you
amen.
We thank you for tuning in. Minister Hicks, we thank you for allowing God to use you this evening and just spreading the gospel. For those of you that have tuned in by internet, we invite you back next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. And we pray that you will come and sit at the table and eat with us. We're inviting you to sit at the table with us. Come and feed and eat with us. As we feed on the word of God, we thank you. For all of those of you that came on this evening, we love you, but God loves you most. And remember that every day is our new beginning.
And see that there is hope for
Begin again.